Omagyan timarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshunmulitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam tadati swapatantikam. Pancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Narayanam Namaskritya, Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 31. Chapter entitled The Movements of the Living Entities, text number 34.
Teshva shanteshu mudeshu kanditatmas vasadushu sangam nakachach choyeshu Yoshit krida mrigeshu cha Teshva shanteshu mudeshu Kanditat masva sadushu Sangam nakayach chocheshu Yoshit krida mrigeshu cha Teshva shanteshu mudeshu Kanditat masva sadushu Sangam nakuryach chocheshu Yoshit krida mrigeshu cha
Teshu, with those. Ashanteshu,
course.
Mudeshu,
fools.
Kandita atmasu, bereft of self-realization. Asadushu, wicked. Sangam, association. Na, not. Kuryat, one should make. Shocheshu, pitiable. Yoshit, of women. Kridamrigeshu, dancing dogs. Cha, and. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One should not associate with a coarse fool who is bereft of the knowledge of self-realization and who is no more than a dancing dog in the hands of a woman. Translation responsibly. One should not associate with a coarse fool who is bereft of the knowledge of self-realization, and who's no more than a dancing dog in the hands of a woman. Purport. The restriction of association with such foolish persons is especially meant for those who are in the line of advancement in Krishna consciousness. Advancement in Krishna consciousness involves developing the qualities of truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, gravity, intelligence and spiritual knowledge, simplicity, material opulence, fame, forgiveness, and control of the mind and senses. All these qualities are to be manifested with the progress of Krishna consciousness. But if one associates with a sudra, a foolish person, who is like a dancing dog in the hands of a woman, then he cannot make any progress. Lord Chaitanya has advised that any person who is engaged in Krishna consciousness and who desires to pass beyond material nescience must not associate himself with women or with persons interested in material enjoyment. For a person seeking advancement in Krishna consciousness, such association is more dangerous than suicide. Om Gyan Timadandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhidantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it's an interesting chapter in the Bhagavatam. The chapter is called The Movements of the Living Entities. So the chapter begins where Kapila Dev is explaining how the living entity enters a womb. And then from that womb, he travels throughout the samsara chakra through the different types of bodies that you can take within the material world. So the Vedas list there are 8,400,000 species of life within the material world. And the Vedas explain, and Prabhupada explains, that all the living entities have been here since time immemorial. So we've been here for so long in this material world, we cannot even trace the date that we entered the material world. So practically speaking, it means that we've gone through every single birth within this material world. We've covered every species. So if you meditate on that, that means you've been a slug, that means you've been a giraffe, that means you've been everything in this material world. Whatever there is, then you've been. You've had the type of consciousness which that body produces. So to take a particular form means you have to have the consciousness of that form. If you don't have that consciousness, you cannot take the form. So that is the danger of the material energy. When we first come into the material world, Prabhupada explains in the 8th canto, or the 9th canto, in one of his purports, he explains that the first birth a living entity takes is as Lord Brahma or a Prajapati, a very highly placed devata. So your first birth is very exalted. It's not that when we leave the spiritual world initially, we're completely demoniac. But we're just desiring to expand our independence or use our independence. Still in the service of God, still in the service of Krishna, but we still want some extra space. So Krishna gives your own universe. And then we can expand our Purusha Bhav, or our desire to control Ishwaroham, Aham Bhogi, and enjoy within this material world. So Krishna says there is the facility. So first of all, we take birth as a devata, highly placed. This means you're in sattva gun, you're in the mode of goodness. And your primary objective, or equally primary objective, is to serve Krishna, serve God. And on his behalf, you take care of management of the material affairs. But this shows us the danger of association with the material energy. Because we associate with the material energy, and then what takes place? We degrade by association. Therefore, association is the most important thing in the world, practically. If you go to the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam, there's one powerful living entity. His name is Hiranya Kashipu. So when you read his teachings, he speaks in the Bhagavatam. Some of his teachings are very enlightening. He speaks the right thing, but he doesn't do it. He doesn't act upon it. But he speaks. His philosophy is very superb. The way he preaches is very articulate and very powerful. But he cannot act upon it himself. But he says to Prahlad, Prahlad, you have to be very careful in this material world. Your consciousness develops according to the association that you keep. Of course, he's advising Prahlad to avoid devotional, because he says to Prahlad, what is the best thing you've learned in school? Prahlad says, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Sakyam, Dasham, Atmanivedanam. He says, this is the best thing I've learned. So Hiranyakashipu says, who has taught you this? He says, you have to be very careful in this material world, the association that you keep. If you associate with people like this, you'll develop the wrong mentality. You need to associate with asura, with daitya, with those who will teach you properly what the goal of life is. Ishro aham aham bhogi, siddoham balavan suki. You need people who will teach you to be the controller, the enjoyer. Be careful, Prahlad. He says it's just like a crystal. So the crystal, when you look at the chandelier, then you know I might see green from the crystal. When if the crystal is close to a green object, it will reflect the color green. If it's close to a red object, it reflects the color. So the crystal, according to the association it gets, then it reflects that quality. So in the same way in the material world, we reflect the quality of the association that we keep. Sanghas, sanjayate, karma. Krishna says within the Bhagavad Gita, your desires are based upon the quality of the association that you keep. All the desires that you get are according to your association. Last night we were telling the devotees in the class that Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he gave a nice example that there is prema and there is calm. Calm is perverted prema. Prema is the natural instinct or the natural propensity of the living entity to love. Every one of us loves. That's natural. We all love different things. We're all attached. We have rati to different things. That's not because that is the nature of the soul. You must be attached. Krishna says, third chapter of Gita, you cannot be stop doing something for a moment. Attachment you cannot stop, even for a moment. You must be attached. You must love. But you have to choose who you want to love, what you want to love, what you're attached to. So that's your choice. So, Bhakti Tirtha Swami gave a nice example. He said, karma and prema, love and lust, they are like two dogs. So dogs are always hungry. Just like you come to our farm, you see the dogs are always hungry. They're just always. Is there something to eat? So that's the nature. The dog will always. So you have a choice. You have two dogs. You have karma, you have prema. So which one are you going to feed? Whichever one you feed will become strong. And the one that you don't feed will become weak and it will die. So in the material world, you have to make a choice. Are you going to feed your love for Krishna, your prema, or are you going to feed your calm, your lust, or your desire to enjoy separately from Krishna? And this, how you feed them, will be based upon the association you keep. If you want to feed your prema, which we presume everyone in this room does, then if you want to feed your prema, you have to find those who are cultivating prema or who have prema. And by their association, then your love for Krishna will also develop. Prema is the goal of life. Prema pumata mahan. Lord Chaitanya says it is the great goal of human existence. If we do not develop prema, then we do not develop anything. Lord Chaitanya says in his teachings in Chaitanya Charitamrita, prayojana means the goal of life, is prema. Prema prayojana. That is the goal of existence, to redevelop that love for Krishna. And that all depends upon the association we keep. So we have to find those who have love for Krishna or who are cultivating love for Krishna and associate with them, and then that love will come. Or You associate with those who are kamis. Kami means one who is developing calm or lust or desires other than to serve Krishna. If you associate with them, then you will develop like that. So it is all based upon association in this material world. So there's 8,400,000 species of life, and you will get the species of life according to your consciousness, to the way you're cultivating your consciousness in this life. So we have to look at ourselves periodically. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, every Ekadashi, you have to reassess your bhakti. So yesterday was near Jala. It was the big Ekadashi, the one of the year, where we try not to eat or drink, if possible. Prabhupada did not insist. He said, if you can, do it. If you cannot do it. Prabhupada said, one time to Mohan Krishna Maharaj, he wrote to Prabhupada. This was in when they had the Radha Damodar bus party, big traveling Sankirtan party in America. One of the biggest book distribution parties in the world at that time. So he wrote to Prabhupada and he said, should we, everyone takes the day off, doesn't distribute books, and we all just stay in the buses and we chant 64 rounds a day. 64 rounds and we just absorb ourselves. Or should we send everyone out on books? Prabhupada said, send everyone out on books. Because for devotees on that level of consciousness, Prabhupada understood that would be more beneficial for them. If you can do both, or if you can chant 64 rounds and maintain your service, or if you can fast, not drink it, and still maintain your service, then do so. Even on Janmashtami, when Prabhupada began the Hare Krishna movement back in New York, and then on Janmashtami, then Prabhupada said you have to fast till midnight. But Prabhupada said if it is difficult to fast, then he said you can drink water. Or he said if that's too difficult, then you can take fruit. Or if that is too difficult, you can drink milk. But no grains. So if it's too difficult, Prabhupada was practical. He didn't want people passing out or developing health problems or damaging themselves. And Prabhupada was practical. We have to understand that. On every level, he was practical. He was never fanatical. So, if we can do nirjal, like yesterday, no water. I ate a lot on Sunday. Because I knew, I'm going to fast tomorrow, so I have to eat a little bit more. So I ate some more. Drank a lot. Hydrated myself fully. And then nirjal wasn't so difficult. But if I felt any time during the day it was becoming too difficult, then be practical, drink some water or like that. But if you can do it, then do it. in the material world, the consciousness you develop is according, or the consciousness you develop will create the body that we get. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, every Ekadashi, which means a holy day, which comes every 2 weeks, reassess yourself. Look at yourself. Study the 26 qualities of the devotee. The previous verse in this chapter listed the same qualities, basically, that Krishna lists in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So these qualities are also found in the list that Lord Chaitanya gives to Sanatana Goswami. 26 qualities of a devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, every Ekadashi, study those qualities and see, how am I doing? Kripalu, Akrita Droha, Satchasara, Sama. The first qualities. Kripalu. Am I compassionate? Am I becoming compassionate? Am I more compassionate than the previous Ekadashi? Am I developing compassion? First quality Lord Chaitanya gives of a devotee. Second quality is Akrita Droha, which means non-defiant, which means humility. Akrita Droha. Normally we say that is the emblem of the Vaishnava. The most important quality of the devotee in one sense is humility. Akrita Droha, not defiant. To Krishna, to Guru, to the Vaishnavas. But interesting, the first quality Krishna, Lord Chaitanya gives in the list is Kripalu. He puts that even in front of humility. You must be compassionate. That is the nature of a devotee. Paradukha, Dukhi. This is actually the standard we're meant to come to. This is a very high standard. Para, Dukha, Dukhi means you cannot tolerate the suffering of another living entity. Any living entity, you cannot tolerate the suffering. That's actual compassion. That's a very high level of consciousness. Just like one time Prabhupada was in America, early days, And one disciple of Prabhupada came into the room. I can't remember the name of the devotee. He came in. Prabhupada was sitting behind his desk, like up there in the room, in Prabhupada's room in Melbourne. He has a low desk, so Prabhupada was sitting on the cushions behind the low desk. And devotee walks in, offers obeisances, he's sitting on the other side of the desk. And Prabhupada points to the desk. He said, "Do you see that ant?" The devotee looked, and he couldn't see anything. So he said to Prabhupada, he didn't know what to say, yes or no. Because he didn't know what Prabhupada meant. Can you see that? There was no, he couldn't see any ant. So he didn't know if there was a spiritual ant there. or if he was meant to be seeing an ant. Or if there wasn't an ant, if Prabhupada was a tree. He didn't know what to say. So he kind of said, no. He didn't know what to say. So anyway, Prabhupada was making a point. There wasn't an ant there, but Prabhupada was making a point. He said, "Can you see that ant?" He said, "My only purpose is to give that ant Krishna consciousness." He said, "That is my only purpose in this material world, is to make sure that ant receives Krishna consciousness. Give him the holy name. Give him prasadam. Sell him a Bhagavad Gita." All right? Up to you. But you give Krishna consciousness to that. And Prabhupada said, he said, "That is my only purpose." The Prabhupada was making a point. He was preaching to the devotees. That is our only reason, actually speaking, that is the only reason we're in this material world. There's two reasons. One, we came in to enjoy separate from Krishna. Okay, we've worked that out. That's wrong. Right? We still have that desire in our heart because we're conditioned, but we realize that's wrong. So the only other purpose now to be here, to exist, is to give Krishna to others. There isn't any other purpose. Otherwise, it's useless. This entire Shrama Evahi Kevalam, just a useless waste of energy, this material world. So Prabhupada had a three-pronged attack. Maya, the material energy, she carries a trident in Durga. You see, she's on the lion or the tiger. She's riding around. Trident means a spear with three prongs. Goodness, passion, ignorance. The gunas, that's how those three prongs. She keeps everyone in this material. Goodness, passion, ignorance. Past, present, future, time. She stabs everyone. Keeps us all in here. Adi-Baltic, Adi-Devic, Adi-Atmic. She keeps us all in here. So she fights. So Prabhupada said, when you join the Hare Krishna movement, the Krishna consciousness movement, you have declared war on Maya. So Prabhupada would call it the Sankirtan army. We are all soldiers, and Prabhupada is the general. So it's an army, it's a fight. So we have to fight the material energy. Material energy is smashing everyone in this material. You look at the news this week, right? It's horrific. Worldwide, people are terrorized. Even in Melbourne last night, they're trying to work out if it was a terror attack or something. Some guys down in Brighton. Brighton's 15 minutes from here, right? They haven't worked it out yet if it's a terror attack. So a couple of people were killed. The police shot the guy. You know, what in England, 3 terror attacks within 3 weeks, 3 months, sorry. 20 days since the last one, and then now it's just terror. It's just boom, 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 it's coming. So the material energy is fighting to keep all the conditioned souls covered. One good thing is that when these, when the world gets like this, people become more receptive to Krishna consciousness. So it's a good time to preach. So then we fight back. We also have a trident. Prabhupada gave all the devotees in ISKCON, the warriors, the soldiers, right? Book distribution, prasadam distribution, harinam. Right? We fight back. Okay? You're fighting? Fight. We will also fight. And we will spread the Krishna consciousness movement. 1996, I was in Tasmania distributing books. And while I was there, I was in Launceston up north, but down south near Hobart, a place called... where was that attack? What was it called? Port Arthur. Port Arthur, that's right. So in Port Arthur, the biggest massacre outside of wartime at that time took place. A guy walked into a tourist place called Port Arthur with a AK-37, like a semi-automatic gun, military gun, walked in, shot, I think he killed around 40 people. 35 people dead. Down in 1996, Tasmania. Right? So I'm down there. distributing books, brahmachari, you know. So I wake up in the morning, go out on the streets, right, and people are like shaking, so to speak. Everyone was just shaking. It was like, right. So books were literally jumping out of the box. I'd say, you know, excuse me, from Tasmania, from out of town. I'm from Tasmania. Okay, there's a book on. Yeah, what is it? Okay, yeah, money. People were just buying. They weren't even questioning. Oh, this is about spiritual life? Yeah, I'll take it. Right, just boom, 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 boom. So I sold a book to one of the ladies who was in the cafe as the guy shot everyone. She was hiding behind the counter. And he just boom, 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 boom. So I said, you know, what do you do for a living? She said, I work in a cafe. I said, which cafe? She said, at Port Arthur. And I said, really? She said, yeah, I was there. The whole thing. So, you know, she just, yeah, what do you got? No problem. I sold a book to a guy who, he was the doctor in the hospital. They brought all the dead bodies in and he had to work out where the bullets passed, you know, make all the notes, like where all the holes were. So, you know, and he said, you know, I said, I've got a book here about spiritual life. He said, no problem. You know, how much do you want? So it was very easy to distribute books. And Prabhupada actually said that. He said, when the material world becomes intense and miserable, people will take to this movement. And it's heightening in front of our eyes. Like the world situation is becoming intense. And it's a good time for us. Not that we want these things, but it's a good time because it means we can preach it more easily. Yeah. So now we have to become twice as dedicated, right? Twice as enthusiastic to spread Krishna consciousness, because now the time will become easier and easier. People will take. They want it. They're looking for it. So that is the nature of the material energy. So we have to give people that opportunity, because according to the consciousness that you develop, right, that is the form of life that you will take. There's 8,400,000 species. So in the Hare Krishna movement, the whole point of being in this movement is that we develop the consciousness of a living entity in the spiritual world. And just like the pujari, Rasika. So he's serving the pujari. He's serving their deities right now, the pujari. Prabhupada said in 1977, just before he left this world, he was in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada said, the most fortunate living entities in the universe are the pujaris of Krishna and Balaram. In other words, Prabhupada explained that what the pujari is doing to the deity, the seva that he renders to the deity, that is non-different from the seva that you render in the spiritual world. So factually, you're acting in your siddha swarup. You're acting in your spiritual form at that point in time. You're putting garlands on the deities. You go to the spiritual world. You may get an opportunity by the mercy of the devotees to put a garland on Krishna. You cook for Krishna in the spiritual world. You also can assist the devotees to cook for Krishna. Right? You can wave a fan, or you can put betel nut within the mouth of Krishna. All these opportunities are the same. So what the pujari does is non-different. Therefore, when we enter into the deity room and we render seva to the deity, first of all you do bhuta shuddhi, which means you purify your subtle body. And you chant the mantras, like Lord Chaitanya says, I'm not a brahmana, I'm not a kshatriya, I'm not a vaishya, I'm not a sudra, I'm not a brahmachari, I'm not a grihasta, I'm not a vanaprastha, I'm not a sannyasi. Gopi bhatu pada kamala yo dasa dasa anudasa. I am the servant of Krishna, who is the master of the gopis. And I'm not even his servant directly, I'm the servant of his servant of his servant. Right? That is your constitutional position. Jivera swarupa hoy, Krishnera nitya das. Right? All of us are nitya das, eternally the servant of Krishna. So any service we do in the Hare Krishna movement, preaching or direct deity worship, both are the same. One is Bhagavat Vidhi Marg, one is Pancharatrika Vidhi Marg. Both are necessary and both are exactly the same. That service leads us to understanding our eternal relationship with Krishna. You are Krishna's eternal servant. Nitya das. One time, one devotee, disciple of Prabhupada, he came to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, I resign. Service is too difficult, or I cannot get along with my god brothers, I resign. And Prabhupada said, how do you resign from being Krishna's servant? How do you resign? What are you resigning from? I'm no longer Krishna's servant, then what are you? You are Krishna's servant eternally. Nitya Das. Means always. You are. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema is eternally within the consciousness of the living entity. Nitya Siddha. It is always there. Just like Prabhupada came one time, he was on the plane and he arrived in one country. The reporter, I think it was England, the reporter said, why have you come to our country? Prabhupada said, I have come to teach you that which you have forgotten. So it is always within our heart, but it has to be manifest. That's the process of bhakti. So the whole process is we have to choose our association. And by the association you keep and what you choose, that is what you become. So in ISKCON, you look around. Right? There are many devotees and there are many advanced devotees. And you look and you say, who do I want to become like? Right? First time I met my Guru Maharaj, my Diksha Guru, I thought I want to become like him. So then I thought, okay. And I went out of my way to get his association. Right? So we feel inspired. There's so many devotees in ISKCON. We're fortunate. And there's so many devotees. Right? In this temple, outside of this temple, those who visit this temple, right? And you see, which devotees do I want to become like? Who have the qualities that I want to develop? And you associate with them. And by associating with them, you also imbibe those qualities. You become purified. That's the process. Just like we're studying in the 10th canto the last few weeks, it says in the spiritual world, when the gopis dance with Krishna, there are 8,400,000 ragas. It means 8,400,000 different musical choices that you can make. When Krishna dances with the gopis, they can choose 8,400,000 different tunes and melodies and songs and ragas and like that to enjoy. And in the material world, we become perverted in our consciousness, and then we have 8,400,000 species of life to choose from. So make your choice. Which 8,400,000 do you want? Which is better? Which is superior? Because Prabhupada says, actually, there's one comment by Prabhupada. I have a little calendar at home. Every morning I get up and I flip the calendar and Prabhupada has a new comment. And one of the little comments that Prabhupada says, he says that the living entities are meant to eternally enjoy with Krishna in his sublime rasa dance. That's a nice way to wake up in the morning. You wake up, turn over, always think, oh, what's Prabhupada going to say today? And I'm just waiting. Is he going to be heavy? Or is he going to be sweet? I feel like that. I feel like I get up in the morning and Prabhupada's going to reciprocate. He's going to speak. And it's funny because you turn over every day the calendar. And exactly what's going on in your life, Prabhupada says that. And then you look at the calendar and you say, how did you know? Like, you know, that means Prabhupada is with us. Right? Our guru is with us. There is no separation. Prabhupada said that. There is no separation. Only we forget. That's what keeps us separated. But there is no separation. Prabhupada is here right now. You can have his association. Right? He said, I am in my books. He said, the books are none different from me. He actually said, the books are better than me. He said all those comments. So he is there. So every morning I turn over and then Prabhupada, and some mornings, or one morning in the year, I can't remember what the date is, but he says, the purpose of the living entity, words to this effect, is to enjoy, to join the eternal rasa dance with Krishna. That is the purpose of the living entity. So 8,400,000, you can go there and you can enjoy 8,400,000 ragas, dancing with Krishna, serving Krishna, or you can become a aardvark, or a whatever your consciousness, whatever you want to become. There's 8,400,000 choices in this material world. So this part of the Bhagavatam, Kapiladev is expanding. The Bhagavatam is an expansion of the Bhagavad Gita. And the Bhagavad Gita has 700 verses. Actually, there are more. We have 700. What we call the Bhagavad Gita is 700 verses, but Baladev, Vijabhushan, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, they say in between these verses, they say, Krishna said this, and Arjuna said that. So there was more conversation, but what is recorded, what we have at this point in time, in this particular Kali Yuga, on this particular planet, we say the Bhagavad Gita is 700 verses. And the Bhagavatam, which is 18,000 verses, how many chapters are in the Bhagavatam? Right? 330. Right? So there's 18,000 verses, 330 chapters, 12 cantos. Right? So the Bhagavatam is an expansion of the Bhagavad Gita. Everything in the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavatam expands and illuminates. So this particular chapter is... you see the verses, they correlate back to the Gita. You can say, oh, that verse is very similar. Like the previous verse, it goes back to chapter 18. It's practically exactly the same as what Krishna spoke. But in general, Kapiladeva's teachings of Sankhya, where does Krishna mention, where does he mention Sankhya in the Gita? He uses the word Sankhya, chapter 2, verse 39. Right? He directly mentions Sankhya Yoga. So in the second chapter, it is dealing with jnana, knowledge. And here, that concise, terse knowledge in the sutras or the slokas of the Gita, then Krishna, it's expanded here by Lord Kapiladeva. So he says, the problem in the material world, Krishna explains to us, the first problem we all have is that we think we are the body. We misidentify matter and spirit. And the very first slokas of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it states that the purpose of the Bhagavatam is to help us to understand the difference between matter and spirit. That which is permanent, that which is temporary. And that's the same way that Krishna begins the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita. So, here, how do we differentiate between matter and spirit? These are the instructions we're being given on a practical level. So this verse is quite famous, and there's quite some famous verses in this particular chapter about understanding the difference between matter and spirit. And when you identify with matter, you identify with your body. The greatest challenge, or the greatest obstacle, or Maya's most powerful, according to this chapter, Maya's most powerful influence on us, for those who are conditioned, is attraction to the opposite sex. So the very powerful verses about that subject matter, about giving us the gyan or the understanding to break our attachment to the opposite sex, the temporary material attachment based on lust. Prabhupada says, public enemy number one is Mr. Lust. At the moment, everyone thinks public enemy number one is ISIS or whatever the other ones are called. Yeah, those groups. But actually, it's the same enemy which gets everyone, the extremists and the normal people, is lust. That's what captures all of us in the material world. So how to overcome lust? You need this gyan, transcendental knowledge, which cuts through the attachments we have in this material world. So these are very powerful verses, but they need to be meditated upon very deeply and absorbed into our consciousness and realized, taken from the platform of jnana to the platform of vijnana, which means realization, which is not easy. I remember when I was a brahmachari living here in the ashram, and I shared a room with a very close friend of mine. He was a very fanatical brahmachari at that time. He was famous for being very staunch and very like that. He's now a grihastha. But back in those days, he was very, very staunch, like really. And in the mornings, he used to get up about 3 o'clock in the morning, have all his rounds finished by six, and then he'd go into the ashram, into our room. We stayed in the room down the very end, and I'd come in there in the morning, sometimes before seven. They finished our rounds, we'd go and read, and he'd be chanting shlokas. And always be chanting the slogans from this chapter, right? And always preaching to me. And this particular verse is one of them. One should not associate with a coarse fool who is bereft of the knowledge of self-realization and who is no more than a dancing dog in the hands of a woman. This is like brahmachari. Nectar. Right, and he used to read this verse. If you go, there's a few verses forward. Just try to understand the mighty strength of my Maya in the shape of a woman who by the mere movement of her eyebrows can keep the greatest conquerors of the world under her grip. So, my very good friend, he used to read these verses every morning practically, recite the Sanskrit and like that. And then I'd walk in and he'd look at me and he'd recite them, right? You have to understand this. We have to imbibe this. We have to understand. Women are Maya. Like this. And then we're both married. Both Krihastas. So it means that we didn't realize it. Okay, the jnana is there. The knowledge is there. But you have to realize it. And that actually it is true. Wherever it says woman, for the women just means man. That's all. It's exactly the same. Right? It's Purusha Bhav. Right? Men are attached to women. Women are attached to men. Or women are attached to women, or men are attached, people are gay these days, whatever it is, it's all the same thing. It's Maya. We're all attached to material forms. Right? That's why, specifically, it says in the Shastra that for Grihasthas, they must perform deity worship. Because the nature of the Grihastha is that if we are a Grihastha, it means we are attached to the material energy. That's why we're in the Grihastha ashram. Therefore, you have to do deity worship to release your attachment. To replace your attachment from material form to spiritual form. That's why you must worship the deities. Right? That is necessary. And Prabhupada said, not everyone needs to take second initiation in this time, but most devotees should. That should be an aspiration. And then you should worship the deities. And by worshipping the deities, then you will become purified. Because param dishtva nivartate. If you don't get the higher taste, you can't release your attachment to the material energy. It says here, don't become attached to the woman. Don't become attached to material form. So that is okay. That is perfect knowledge. But none of us realize it. There's no one in this room, except Prabhupada himself, who realizes that. So then, we have to purify ourselves. You can't just have the gyan, but you have to purify yourself through bhakti by getting the higher taste of serving Krishna, becoming attached to his form, and that will release you from your attachment to real form. So it says here, there is only one thing worse than being attached to the opposite sex, or one thing more dangerous than being attached to the opposite sex, and that is associating with someone who is attached to the opposite sex. So it's very dangerous. If you read Nectar of Devotion, and then Prabhupada quotes in chapter 3 or chapter 2, 3 or 4 of Nectar of Devotion, and then Prabhupada gives a list of quotes from Rupa Goswami, says that associating with a materialist or someone who is attached to the opposite sex is more dangerous than getting in a cage with a tiger or jumping into a pit of snakes. More dangerous. In other words, it is suicide. You will die. Or rather, your spiritual life will be destroyed. If you associate with people who are attached to this material energy, your spiritual life will be destroyed. So Prabhupada was merciful. He gave us ISKCON. He gave us an opportunity to associate with devotees who are not, or people who are not attached to the material energy, or less attached. We're all attached, but our aspiration is to become unattached. And by that association, then we overcome. So these are very powerful verses. We should meditate on them. We should realize them. But they take time to realize. But the Bhagavatam here is giving very cutting. I mean, if you look in this, some of these verses, they're very, very, very strong. And we have to present them nicely to the non-devotees. Some people read these things. Then they will... non-devotees may become confused and distance themselves from the Hare Krishna movement. We have to present them very nicely. these things. Just like Prabhupada says, you're out on the street distributing Bhagavad Gita's. You give someone the Bhagavad Gita. I used to distribute Bhagavad Gita's on the streets in Melbourne. Give someone the Bhagavad Gita on Swanston Street to some lady. Right. Distribute it. She buys the book. She comes back 2 weeks later. Right, I'm standing there on the street. Comes back. I said, "Would you like to buy a Bhagavad Gita?" So I brought it 2 weeks ago. I said, "What do you think?" I said, "In the first chapter, your guru says women are less intelligent." So then you have to explain to them why. We have to explain these things. Why are women less intelligent? Are women less intelligent? You have to explain to them that there are different types of intelligence. Right? To say that a woman is less intelligent, and many women are more intelligent than men. Right? There are women who are running countries at this point in time on the earth. Right? They're extremely intelligent. Or you look in any field, women can equal or excel men in any field. So you cannot say they're less intelligent in one sense. In another sense, you could say that Bhaktivedanta Pandit Maharaj explained it very nicely one time. It made me understand these kind of statements. This is how I explain it to people, that there are two sides of the brain. One is emotional, one is practical. Right? So a man only functions on one side of the brain at one point in time. When a man is lusty or on the emotional side of the brain, right, the other side of the brain practically stops working. His practical, logical side of the brain. So at that point in time, he's less intelligent than a woman. Right? A woman's brain, they work simultaneously. Now you see, women bring up children. Right? So when they're bringing up a child, they're practical, they're logical, but their emotions are always affecting their decisions and their judgments. So in that way, you could say, when a man is practical and he's focused, you could say that he's more intelligent than a woman. Not always, not in every circumstance. But you could generally say that. You know, a woman might get swayed by her emotions more easily. A woman is more emotional than a man, in general. So therefore, they may be swayed more. So in that way, you could say. So we have to learn how to preach and explain these things. Because you read some of these verses, like people read them, then they'll walk away from the Hare Krishna movement. It says, women are maya. Never look at a woman. Never associate with a woman. They're dangerous. More dangerous than a snake or a tiger. Just like one devotee, one of my friends was telling me, he's been giving his mother Prabhupada's books for years. So then he went home recently to visit his mother, and she's very upset. And because she'd been reading Prabhupada's book, he said, "Oh, why? Why are you upset?" "Because your guru says that if you eat grains cooked by someone who's not a devotee, your mind becomes wicked. So it means you cannot eat my cooking because I'm not a devotee. So I'm not going to cook anything for you. I'm not going to cook for you." Right? So it was a big point for her. So, you know, we have to learn how to explain these things to the non-devotees very maturely and nicely so they can understand these teachings. Because Prabhupada makes statements which are very strong and very powerful. You know, if you look on Vedabase, if you look at all the quotes that Prabhupada said, you know, I mean, there's a quote where Prabhupada says, "We are all good and you are all bad." He says that, so people they can find those quotes. That's not the kind of thing you'd say at a Sunday feast lecture. Or if you go to do a university program, you wouldn't say something like that. But obviously we understand what Prabhupada means by that. Someone who practices Krishna consciousness, that is good. Someone who doesn't practice Krishna consciousness, that is bad. So we have to learn to explain these things very nicely. So these verses are very powerful in this chapter. But then how to understand them and how to explain them to people, that has to be done. A lot of maturity. So we'll stop here. We'll see if there are any questions or comments on what we discussed.
You mentioned that there's nothing more dangerous than associating a person with attached to energy. So when we go out and preach, then most people are really attached to energy. So how can we make a distinction between that kind of giving our association?
Well, means we're giving our association. like we're out on the street, for example, you're giving them a book, or they come in a crossways and you're distributing prasadam to them, or you're preaching to them, or whatever you're doing, you're on Harinam, like that. So you're giving your association to them. You're not taking association. When you sit down and talk to someone, then we exchange. You know, we can't just say, oh no, I've just got to tell you all about Krishna and I'm just giving like that. Then that's, you know, that doesn't work. So you have to, you know, exchange with them. But a devotee underneath, he's always thinking, how can I introduce Krishna? How can I introduce Krishna? So, you know, we say, where are you from? What do you do? You learn about them, you make friends with them. You know, that's nice. But underneath, we're always thinking, but somehow we'll direct them towards Krishna. We'll give an opportunity. So that way you're not taking their association. So you have to be careful. And Prabhupada said, when you go out into the world, which we do every day to preach, to spread Krishna consciousness, he said the morning program inoculates you. It's like when a doctor goes into the ward to treat people, they've got diseases. So before he goes in, he takes an injection, right? And he gets inoculated against that disease. So when he goes in, he doesn't get that disease. So in the morning, you have good morning program. And when you get out, you're purified. You don't get so affected. But you see the mornings where you don't get up early, you don't chat your rounds nicely, you haven't read, you get out there and then it's like, oh, material energy. Like, and you feel yourself becoming influenced. And you know, you get out there and there's big boards, signboards, you know, and they say, oh, like this, and you, it affects your consciousness. To go from knowledge to realization. That's just the process of bhakti, or the process of Krishna consciousness. Everything we do, same thing, the morning program. That gives us realization. Just like I was reading the other day, a quote by Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, by chanting Hare Krishna, words to this effect, he said, you will realize your siddha swarup. So by chanting, the process of chanting, we're meant to be realizing our eternal relationship and our eternal form in relationship to Krishna. So that's called vigyan. Vigyan means realizing who we actually are spiritually. So that's everything we do every day. So we get up in the mornings every day and we chant our rounds, right? And while we're chanting, that's our meditation. You have to be focused in your mind what you're looking for. So in the beginning, it may be generic. In generic, we're just trying to understand, I'm a servant of Krishna. So you're chanting and you're trying to imbibe that mood. Mm. And Prabhupada says, the most simple translation Prabhupada gave for the Maha Mantra is, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. That's the most simple. So when you're chanting, you meditate like that. O Krishna, O Radharani, please engage me in your service. That's the mood while you're chanting. You're cultivating that. When you become more advanced, then there are many other translations of the Maha Mantra. Right? Gopal Guru Goswami, one of the great acharyas, a follower of Lord Chaitanya, he breaks down every word into the eight pastimes of Krishna during the day, the Ashtakali Lili. He gives a very detailed analysis of the Maha Mantra. So while you're chanting, your consciousness could be entering into Krishna's pastimes. So we're not ready for that at this point in time. So you just get the right mood of becoming a servant of Lord Chaitanya, and then eventually everything will manifest. So everything we're doing every day, all our devotional service, is taking us from jnana to vijnana. But actual vijnana, that's, you know, that's a very elevated level of consciousness. Because actual vijnana means I'm not the body, I am the soul. That's vijnana. I understand that, I am the soul. And then full vijnana means I understand who my eternal relationship with Krishna. That's actual vijnana. So that takes a lot of time. Is that okay?
Is it sufficient, like, just to do the morning program and try to chant attentively?
It's sufficient to get vigyan?
Yeah. Or just like to stay?
The one thing which adds to it, we do our sadhana in the morning. But then the one thing which, because I've been thinking about this quite a bit lately, because we've been studying the 10th canto in the Bhagavatam. in our class. And the 10th canto is the summum bonum. There are 10 subject matters in the Bhagavatam. The 10th canto is called Ashraya. Ashraya means the final goal. Of the 10 subjects in the Bhagavatam, that's the final. Prabhupada calls the 10th canto summum bonum, or Ashraya. It's the goal. So, you know, we've been studying for many years now. We're studying very deeply the goal, which is Krishna's eternal pastimes. And it's becoming more and more, I was saying to the devotees last night, it's becoming more and more apparent to me that I don't know by my own endeavor, I'm quite sure by my own endeavor, I'm not going to fully realize my eternal relationship with Krishna in this lifetime. Because that's a very exalted state of consciousness. And I'm trying, but it's becoming more and more apparent that that may not take place by my own endeavor. However, Prabhupada states that by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya covers what we lack and he can take us to the highest level. So as you're saying, that is that enough to get vijnan, doing our sadhana? Yes, it is enough, but whether or not we're doing our sadhana intensely enough or purely enough to actually realize our eternal form with Krishna, probably not. But if you go out and preach, you attract Lord Chaitanya's mercy, and then Lord Chaitanya gives you like a boost. So by preaching, you get realization. And I know many times in my life, and many times, you know, devotees I know, they say that when they went out and they did some big preaching service and they did some sacrifice, they got so much mercy and they suddenly just came to life. So if you don't preach, then you don't get. Is that okay? Any other question? Any other questions?
Yeah. You were mentioning about lust being number one. Now, can you please explain how the yoga process helps us to overcome lust and guide?
Because desire is the nature of the living entity. As Krishna says in the beginning of the third chapter, as we quoted, Krishna says, you cannot stop doing anything for even a moment. It's the nature of the living entity to be active, to desire. That cannot be removed. That is part and parcel of our constitution. We're meant to act. We're meant to desire. We can't stop that ever. So the bhakti yoga process means replacing the desire. Because the original nichasiddha, Krishna print, the original desire of the living entity is to serve Krishna. That's why we're all doing this now. It feels natural. Well, we feel like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, my whole life before I became a devotee, I always felt like, what am I supposed to be doing? It's like something was always missing. Then I walked into the temple, the devotee said, oh, serve Krishna. I started doing it. I thought, oh yeah, this feels right. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Why? Because that's the nature of the soul. So how to overcome lust, right? Prabhupada says at the very end of the Gita, Savadamam Purijaja, if you look in the purport, then Prabhupada says, develop your day in such a way that you cannot help but think of Krishna 24 hours a day. That's basically the final message of the Gita. Surrender unto me. So develop your life in such a way that there's only Krishna. Service to Krishna. It's like, you know, we just did the morning program. We got up early, went to Mangaladi. We chanted our rounds. We came here. We did the morning program. Now we go and take prasad, honor prasadam. And then we've all got our designated services. Right? So we know what we're going to do to serve Krishna. So you develop your day in such a way that you understand, okay, 7 o'clock I'm going to do this, 9 o'clock I'm going to do this. Prabhupada actually says a sannyasi, which in one sense we're all meant to be, not that we'll all take dandas, and most of us won't take dandas, but we're all meant to be sannyasi in consciousness, means body, mind, words in the service of Krishna. Prabhupada said a sannyasi needs to know what he's doing 12 months ahead of time. Now, you say to Maharaj, what will you be doing in November? He says, I'll be here. What will you be doing in January? I'll be here. What will you be doing in March? I'll be here. He knows what he's doing. Prabhupada was like that. Right? I mean, people would invite Prabhupada, I'll come here, and he'd say, okay, let's go, and he'd go and preach. But, you know, he knew what he was doing. Prabhupada knew what he was doing every day. He got up in the morning, his routine was like fixed. Even Hari Sariputra said Prabhupada was flying to Australia. They flew from wherever they were, London or wherever it was, to Australia. And they got to Singapore, to the airport. It's different now. Now Singapore airport's like, you know, everything you could possibly want, it's there. You know, if you want to have a shower, it's there. It's whatever you want. But back then it was actually quite a simple setup. And Prabhupada wanted to take bath because Prabhupada was regular. He always took bath before he took prasadam. So he looked around. They said, there's no showers, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada walked into the men's toilets, right? Took everything off, put his gumshoe on, got his lota, right? Filled up the water from the tap and started taking bath, like just in the middle of the bathroom. So the cleaner was getting quite upset. You know. The cleaner was saying something in Singaporean, you know, whatever their language is, saying, yeah, you can't do this, what are you doing? Water all over the floor, like that. Prabhupada didn't even listen to this. Took his bath, dried himself, put on tilak, got dressed and walked out. Didn't even say anything to him. Right, because Prabhupada was so regulated. So he knew what he was doing. So if you want to make advancement, you know, which we all do, we're serious about Krishna consciousness, then you have to be organized. You have to know what you're doing. What am I doing at 3 o'clock? What am I doing at 6 o'clock? What am I doing at 9 o'clock? You know, we know what our whole day entails. So you just develop your day in such a way that there's no room for Maya. So that replaces lust with love, or with ultimately with devotional service. That's what devotional service is leading to. You've got to use your energy. Right, we've got to use it. We're all energy. We've got a lot of energy, especially when you're young. Use it, because as you get older, it becomes a little problematic. So use your energy to serve Krishna as you. Don't give yourself any time. Prabhupada said, actually, Brahmachari Ashram is the best. Prabhupada said that. And Brahmacharini Ashram, that's the best. And I can vouch for that. That was the best years of my life in some ways. It was the best. So Prabhupada said the Brahmachari, or Brahmacharini, they're so tired at the end of the day, as soon as they put their head on the pillow, poof, lights out. Because all they've been doing is serving Krishna all day. Prabhupada said Brahmacharis have 3 bags. Right, book bag, sleeping bag, jabba bag. Book bag, distributing books. Right? So that's basically brahmachari, brahmacharini life. That's all you have to do. Right? Book bag, you just go out and distribute books. Even say your service is Crossways, right? But if you're really focused, you can have a book bag, you have Prabhupada's books on you, any opportunity is bang, 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 bang. Okay, you've got to wash the dishes, but every time you walk out, someone's putting their plate there, so excuse me, not that. No, actually, if you have that consciousness, it sounds, you know, I mean, I'm not on that level where I do that, but that actually can be done. You know, Navina Nirada Prabhu, the famous book distributor? You know, when I was a brahmachari, he was number one, number two in the world. You know, a lot of books, like, very, he's empowered to distribute books. He was in Melbourne a few years ago, and he went for a japa walk on Beaconsfield Parade, 6 o'clock in the morning, up and down chanting his japa. He always has Prabhupada's books on him, always. He doesn't go anywhere, always. So he told me, he said he's walking down Beaconsfield Parade chanting his japa, and some guy came out 6 o'clock in the morning to get in his car. So Navina walks up, and he's got a BMW, some nice expensive car, and he goes up, and Navina goes, wow, is that yours? And the guy's like, yeah, you know, and he goes, is this the latest one? And the guy goes, yeah. And he starts, you know, asking him about the car, and he's going, oh, wow, you know, like that. And then, you know, after a couple of minutes, he goes, hey, I've got these books. And he gives him a book. And then he says, you know, we just get donations from. The guy goes, yeah, sure, how much you want? You know, pulls out 10 bucks, gives it to him, gets in the car, drives to work, right? So no way I would ever think of that. You know, if I was chanting japa on the beach, I'd just be chanting japa. I wouldn't be thinking. But Navinus is always thinking. He tells me he never goes anywhere without Prabhupada's book, ever. Always somewhere. You know, be tucked in somewhere. So that's the point. The point is, if we're serious about Krishna consciousness, you'll take every opportunity to be engaged in Krishna service. No room for Maya. It's okay. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.